Amen. Come on. Awesome. All right, everybody. Well, you can be seated. And man, we've had enough prayer. Now we're ready for the word. Amen, everybody. Come on. Pastor Kyle's back, isn't he? All right. It is good to see you all. Certainly glad to be back with you. Hey, I want to draw your attention. Go ahead, grab your message notes. But as you're doing that, I just want to draw your attention to our what was on your chair when you came in this morning, the At the Movies. Come on, how many excited for the At the Movies series coming up? If you've never been a part of the At the Movies, you're like, what in the world is At the Movies, and what did you just show us, all right? And so here's really what it is, and you can talk to anybody, man, around here that's been. It's an incredible time. And we just take, you know, Jesus taught in parables when you read in the scripture. And he took modern, really just day messages and stories and then taught biblical truths with them. And that's exactly what we're doing with some of these movies that we're going to be doing in September. Last year when we did this, we saw an incredible amount of people make decisions to follow Jesus. And so it is one of the most evangelistic times for our church. Honestly, the months of September and October are great times to continue to just to bring people to church, because the next two series of At the Movies and then our October series, you asked for it. That series in October is one that you asked for. Back at Easter, we had kind of our spiritual survey, if you remember that, and you gave us topics of what you wanted to hear about. And you know the number one topic that people asked for most, that I'll preach on, is, man, how do I have peace in my life in the midst of what's going on and everything else? Just peace. I mean, no, that's pretty important, amen. And so we're gonna do a talk on that in that series and more topics that you wanted to hear about. But just historically for our church, fall's always been just a great time of growth, great time just historically. I've just seen many people make decisions for Jesus. So for the next couple weeks, these invites are there, and I just encourage you, man. Get them in people's hands. You can get more. Say, man, I want more in one invite. You can get more at the hub on your way out if you want to grab. But for the next few weeks, we're going to just purposely and intentionally just place them on their seats. And, man, just invite people that are far from God, that don't know him. And we'll have an amazing time during At the Movies. Amen? All right. Well, let's jump in this series and close this out, hopefully, very strongly. And how many have been enjoying over the last few weeks? Amen. I just want to give a shout out to our staff, our leaders, communicators. Pastor David, Nicole did a great job over the last few weeks, didn't they? And very proud of them, thankful for them. And so we're going to close this out and in a big way. And I want to give just a big shout out to Pastor Chris Hodges, Church of the Highlands, because this is a series that really was from them. And when I heard it, I thought, man, we need to do this. And I knew when I left that this would be a great series for us to begin and end with by the time I got back. And so just want to give them a shout out, because I just think it's powerful. And it's a timely one, because we're coming out of the summer slump. All right, coming out of the summer slump, kids are getting back in school and starting to refocus. And the whole purpose of this series is to bring us closer to God. Everybody say, let's get closer. And so get closer and closer to him. And then we're right in the last week of our 21 days of prayer. And I will tell you this, if you've not been a part of it yet, you've got this last week. And what we've done this year is we've opened up the offices, and from noon to one every day, Monday through Friday, people on their lunch hour, we've opened it up for prayer, and it's structured, and we've got just a lot of just prayer time, downtime, worship music's on. But over this last week, I will tell you, a ton of people just taken, some can only take about 20 minutes from work, from their lunch, and come, and some took their whole lunch and were there with us this week. And so I just invite you, if you have time to join us at the offices, you can do that. And if you can't, it's totally cool, but I encourage you just to be focused in this time of this 21 days of prayer. And then this Saturday, everybody say this Saturday, we always have our Saturday morning time of prayer, but this is kind of our grand finale for our 21 days of prayer this Saturday. And there's just something about it when you come together and pray with other people. I'm just telling you, powerful things happen. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so we are just really excited about that. But I want to take just a couple minutes and do a review of what you've been learning over the past few weeks. And the first week, Pastor David did a great job of just talking on the subject that we all worship something. Everybody say, we all worship something. So everybody worships something, and they can put that on the screen. We all worship something, and our worship is our response to what we value most. So worship, and so this is not in your notes, but if you want to just write this down, it's just a reminder if you've missed any of these weeks that you can go and listen to the messages. But worship is our response to what we value most. And so in other words, that you could be worshiping something. You can be worshiping money. You could be worshiping relationships. You could be worshiping your job. And you could be worshiping whatever, but we all worship something. Whether you're a Christian or not, you are a worshiper. And you are a worshiper of something. And so God doesn't mind if we have other loves in our life. But the key is, what he does mind is when those things take a higher place than him. Amen? And so last week, Nicole talked, really, it was kind of a deeper theological teaching on just understanding the role of what Lucifer, as we know as Satan, his role in heaven before he was booted up out of heaven because of his pride and wanting to ascend higher than God. But he was the first worship leader. And once he was booted out, God created you and I to fill that place to worship him. And we were created for worship. We were created to bring worship to the Lord. Amen, everybody? And so that just was the highlight of last week, that we were made to worship. And so the first kind of 2 weeks were to just get us to this point here this morning, and that is, how do we worship now and understand worshiping God's way? I want to open up with a story here in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, we're going to begin in verse 37. And this is a story right before Jesus went to be crucified on the cross. He came in on a Sunday on a donkey in Jerusalem, and they laid down palm branches. And so that's why we call it Palm Sunday, all right? And it says this, that when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples, look at this, began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. Everybody say they were loud. Loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. So they're exuberant in their praise, and they're excited about it and joyful in it because of what God has done. And I want to emphasize loud voices. So how many know that they weren't quiet about it? They were loud about it. Amen? And so it goes on to say, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And it was their response to Jesus as he came in. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then check this out. The religious ones always got something to say. They said, some of the Pharisees always complaining in the crowd and said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, look at this, the stones will cry out. I mean, that's a bad day if you got a rock praising in your place. We used to sing a song back in the day in church called Ain't Gonna Let No Rock Out Praise Me. Ain't gonna let it, and it's ain't. Ain't gonna let it, it's bad English, but it's good preaching. All right, ain't gonna let it sing in my place. And that was an old school. But tradition, I think what has happened is always tried to define worship. And God has, for always, as his word has always been there, we've gotten away, I think, from true worship. And that's true worship, God's way, which is what we're going to look at today. Because what we need to be reminded of, that this building and buildings, plural, churches all over are not holy. In the Old Testament, God dwelt in buildings, but in the New Testament, God dwells in you and me. The Bible says that you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, I'm a temple. And so God doesn't dwell in a building. So there's nothing holy about this building. All right? God lives in you, not in a building. I'm glad for that. Amen? And so it's important that we understand that. And so what is God's style of worship? In other words, what has always been? You know, the biggest book in the Bible is the book of Psalms. It's 150 chapters. And you know what it's all about? Worship. Isn't it interesting that the largest book in the Bible is all about worship? And when you read in the book of Psalms, you'll read that it's different expressions of worship, and it's powerful. And that's why I love reading in the book of Psalms, because they're different, really just kind of what I would call God-style expressions of worship. And a lot of those expressions you don't see on Sundays, or you don't see maybe in a lot of churches. And I would just kind of give the example that it's kind of like, when you be reading the book of Psalms and the different styles and expressions, it's kind of like being at a Notre Dame football game on a Saturday. Come on, somebody. We about there. All right. We anybody ready for football season? Come on. There's like five of us. Really? Come on. Where y'all at? Football fans, where you at? All right. There we go. All right. You don't have to be too spiritual. All right. Let's go. And so, you know, when you go to a Notre Dame game, it's crazy. Anybody ever been to a Notre Dame game up there? Oh, look at the hands. Awesome. There's no experience like it, all right? You got to get, there's some Jesus up there. I'm just telling you, all right? And so you got to go. And so what's crazy is those people will tailgate for hours before a game. Think about it. Game starts at 8 o'clock at night on NBC, and people start tailgating at like 7 a.m., 8 a.m. in the morning. It's crazy. The band's out there. They're playing loud. People are singing the cheer song, the fight song. Cheer, cheer for old Notre Dame. You know what I mean? I mean, just, yeah, I got to get this party started, right? And so, and I mean, they're loud, faces painted, bellies painted. I mean, all those things, you know, it's just, and they're loud and exuberant. And so when you're in the stadium, 80,000 plus people, come on, ain't nothing like it. 80,000 plus, and people are screaming, they're yelling. And how many know they ain't quiet at the game? And you know, and they're loud. And so what do they call people that follow teams like that? They call them fans, right? Or they call them fanatics. I'm just ready. I got my game face on. I'm ready for the first game. Y'all got my picture up? I mean, let's go. Let's go. I painted, got that painted this week. Thought you'd like it. Just kidding. That's an app, everybody. All right? I mean, I'm like, man, Pastor Kyle went all out for that, you know? And no, that's actually an app. Isn't that pretty cool, though? So go Irish. All right. So anyways, I say all that to say this, that I want to show you today. You can take that picture off. All right. I want to show you today God's style of worship, because this is awesome. When I was going through this message this week, man, I grew in the house of a worship leader. My mom led worship for 20 plus years. And so, honestly, this was just some good reminders for me today. And I think it'll be a blessing. But one of the things when you go through Bible college is one of the things that they teach to really all Bible college students is they take you through what's called the original language courses. And so they take you through the Old Testament that was written in Hebrew and the New Testament that was written in Greek. And the problem is though that those languages are bigger than our English language. So in other words, those languages, their vocabulary is bigger than our English. So when English translators were translating our Bible, they would use simple words like praise. But the only problem is when you read that those words in your Bibles in the book of Psalms, it can mean a lot of different expressions of worship. And specifically, there's seven Hebrew names or words of praise that we're going to look at today, and that I think is powerful. I think it's exciting and will hopefully help you and I to understand why we worship and why God likes certain things. And because God likes it, how many know we need to do it? Amen. And so I want us to look at this. So I'm going to give you some Hebrew words to write in this morning. And so just follow along with me today. The first word is the word Hallel. Hallel. And it's where we get the word hallelujah from. So the yah part is really the God part. And Hallel literally means to rave, boast, celebrate, or to be clamorously foolish. And some of y'all like say, what? You know? What's up with that foolish part? What's going on? Well, I'm going to break that down a little bit and kind of let you know what that means. But we should never, listen to me, should never treat anything that God has said that is good or any gift that God has given, we should never treat it as something that's repulsive. Because any gift or anything that God says is good that is for you and me is exactly that. It's good. And so it shouldn't be treated like, ooh, What's up with that hand raising thing, or what's up with this? You know what I mean? And so we shouldn't treat it as such, because God likes it when you get a little crazy for Him, and He likes it when you celebrate Him, when you put them bad boys together. He likes that. And you know what's funny is interesting to me. It makes total sense at an Irish game on a Saturday, but many act like it's irreverent on a Sunday. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And so when God says He likes something, I'm gonna do it. When He says he wants worship a certain way, I'm going to respond to it. Psalms 35:18, it says, I will thank you in front of the great assembly. I will praise you, or I will hallel you before all the people. And I just believe that low-key conservative worship does nothing but protect your ego. And I'm just telling you, when God says He wants something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to respond to it. And here's what I know, that this is a new step for people. And I think you got to take one step at a time. I can remember growing up in the church and watching people putting their hands together. You know, even though my mom was a worship leader, I'm still my own man in that sense, and trying to figure things out and watch people lifting up their hands and that sort of thing. And so I remember kind of finally getting that clapping thing down, like, yeah, like on rhythm. You know what I'm talking about? Like not off of rhythm, you know. You know what I'm talking about. All right. And then finally, you know, I'd be watching people in worship. And so I finally kind of got like here, you know, just kind of here. Then one day I got a little here, you know, and then finally I raised the roof. You know what I'm saying? I got it up here. And so I'm just telling you, just be comfortable to understand and know. It takes time to grow in these things and to know, but this is something that God likes. Are you with me? All right. Here's the next one, and that's yada. And that's not Yoda. He's the green little guy. All right. Yada. All right. Yada. And it means to acknowledge in public. And to acknowledge, here's what this means, with extended hands. With extended hands. God likes it when you lift your hands and worship. He likes it. It's a sign of worship to God. Lord, that I love you, that I honor you. My life is not my own. I give it to you. He likes it. And if I were to ask the question this morning, how many are Jesus followers, most of you would respond by a hand raise, wouldn't you? You'd respond by lifting your hands. It's a question I've gotten for years. I remember when we first started the church, I had people come and ask them, what's up with that hand raising? Why you all sing so loud? Like, what's up with it? And I just simply told them, I said, because God likes it. God likes it. He likes it when we sing. He likes it when we lift our hands. And I'm going to tell you some more cool stuff that he likes too. And so I just think we've got to be careful, everybody, because I think we've gotten in the habit of asking why all the time. We've gotten in the habit of asking why. And I just think in the generation that is getting kind of more progressive, they're pulling further away from what God says to things that they think is right. And I just think we need to say no to that. And I just think God is looking for us continually as his church and his people that will do it God's way, whether we understand it all or not. Come on, somebody. Are you here this morning? Amen. And so that we understand and do it God's way. And so it happens on Saturdays when you watch a football game and, you know, the Irish scores. Hopefully this is a better year, all right, for the Irish, by the way. And but when they score, even the refs throw it up. You know what I'm saying? Like even they throw it up. It's all good. Amen, everybody? All right? Psalm 138:1 says this, that I will praise you, I will yada you, O Lord, with all my heart. Not just part of me, but with everything within me. That God, my worship is not going to be determined by how I feel or whether they're singing my favorite song. My worship is not going to be determined by the way I got up this morning. Because here's the bottom line. God is always deserving of our worship. Amen, everybody. He's always deserving of it. Whether you feel it or not, give him the worship he deserves. The next word is the word Barak. And it means to bless by kneeling or bowing. And hopefully you're seeing this. Are you noticing the different expressions of worship? Are you seeing the difference? We got one that talks about being clamorously foolish. And then we got one here, Barak, that says, man, just in kneeling or bowing in worship. I just think it's powerful. Notice that difference. Psalms 103:1 says, praise the Lord, all right? Or Barak the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Here's another one I love just because it's cool to say. Zamar. Everybody say Zamar. Zamar. And it literally means making music to God with strings. Where my worship team at? Come on, where my instrumentalist at? Come on. That's pretty weak. Where's my instrumentalist at? All right. Come on, man. Just help me. Next service, be ready, all right? But you know what God likes? God likes it when these guys are up here, when they on the acoustic, when they're on the electric, come on the bass, ba-boom-ba Robert up there, when they're on the drums. And God likes it. And he doesn't want them plucking them strings like it's for spa day, you know? Like, he wants them to get down with them bad boys, you know what I'm like, not elevator music, you know? Like, get down with it, you know? God likes it. And you know what I love about this? Zamar is. I just think this is a great reminder of how cool your and I's God is, that he's into it. Everybody say, he's into it. I mean, he's into worship. He's into the band and the playing of instruments. It's awesome. Psalms 92:1, it says, it's good to praise the Lord, or Zamar the Lord. It's good to do it, God says, and make music to your name, O Most High. Here's kind of a scripture that I think that encapsulates really everything we're talking about this morning in Psalms 150. It says, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. praise him with the harp and the lyre. And that's not a person who doesn't tell the truth. That's an instrument. All right, everybody? All right, I thought that was a little funny, but all right. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Say, what? You know? The dancing. In other words, God likes it when you get a little airtime. God likes it when you get a little airtime. He said it. I didn't say it. I didn't write the book. He wrote the book. God likes it when you get a little airtime. I just think that's pretty cool, everybody. Then he goes on to say, praise him with the strings and the pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. How many know we got the best drummers in the world? Praise him, not just, look at this, praise him again with some resounding cymbals, like, do it louder. I love it. And you know, if you think it's loud here, wait till you get to heaven. Some scholars believe, and even some theologians I've read on this, they said heaven is going to be so loud, it's going to be as loud as the loudest waterfall on earth. So if you think it's loud here, you better take you some earplugs to heaven with you. Because it's going to be loud, everybody. I'm just telling you, just trying to get you ready. Amen, everybody? But I can't imagine being at an Irish game on a Saturday afternoon, all right, come into the stadium, and our team scores, and instead of cheering, everybody going, shh, shh, shh. Shh. No. Shh, shh. I mean, if somebody did that to you at an Irish game, y'all already know. Maybe a little karate chop to the throat, all right? You know what I'm saying? Like, sit your butt down. I paid my money for this. You know what I mean? Like, just leave me be. But can you just can't imagine that. Are you with me, everybody? Shabak, here's the next one. It means to address in a loud tone or to shout. How many know there's a lot of shouting on Saturday afternoons? There's a big difference between college football and NFL, by the way. College players don't get paid. They're trying to get paid, but they're not getting paid, and so they're playing for the love of the game. Not saying all NFL players feel that way, but there's a big difference just in competition. It's amazing to me. But there's a lot of shouting on a Saturday afternoon up in South Bend for the Irish in those games. And I've just made up my mind a long time ago that I will not scream and shout for a team who doesn't know me and stay quiet and keep silent for a God who made me. Amen, everybody? I'm just not going to do it. And so Psalm 63:3-4 says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you and praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. Amen? Amen? Which brings me to the next one. That's Toda. And that means to lift your hands in adoration. Have you noticed that two of the seven Hebrew words already of just praise has to do with hand lifting? Yeah. Can I tell you, God likes it when you lift your hands and you worship him. God likes it when you and I do that. It says this in Psalms 50:23, that he who offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation aright, I show the salvation of God. To lift hands in adoration. And that's why, as I talked earlier, we can't get in the why all the time. If God told me to, if his word said stand on one foot, I'm going to stand on one foot. Now, it doesn't say that, but I'm just going to do whatever he wants to do, whether I understand it all or not. I'm going to give God the praise and the worship that he's due. Amen, everybody? Everybody say Toda. Come on, it means to lift your hands, and that he who offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation aright. Praise. That glorifies me, that it's not about anything else. It's about keeping our focus on God. And here's the last one, and that's tequila. It kind of sounds like tequila, and it kind of has the same result, but it's not. Psalm 34, because this would be some of y'all's verse right here, I can tell. Psalms 34:1, I will extol the Lord at all times, and his praise will always be on my lips. Always be on my lips. It's, tequila, just make sure you get that right, all right? Woo! Psalms 108. I want to give you this verse and see some of these Hebrew words in action here. This is awesome. It says this, oh God, my heart is fixed. Meaning this, I've made up my mind. My heart is fixed. I'm not moving from my place, my belief in Christ. My heart is fixed. It goes on to say, and I will sing. Everybody say, I will. Say it again, I will. I will sing and give praise. That word praise there is zamar. Put it in your notes there. And here's what I just believe. Some of us need to leave today with an I will. An I will about you. An I will that you're going to live your life for God and give him the praise. Even with my glory, I will praise, as yada, lifting of the hands. So we got the strings, the hands. Oh Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises to Healah. Exuberant singing unto thee among the nations. Jot this down. Here's what worship is. Worship is love expressed. It's not worship if it's not love, and it's not worship if it's not expressed. And so I can't just say in my heart, I love you, God, and that's it. I know Bethany would be very disappointed and frustrated with me if I told her, baby, I love you, but I'm never going to hug you. I'm never going to kiss you. I'm never going to have affection with you. I mean, no, my girl ain't going for that. And trust me, she can't keep her hands on me anyway. You know what I'm saying? So not to worry about that, everybody. I mean, it's just, listen, we have three kids, not because I like kids, because I really like my wife. You know what I'm saying? So it's why I love the book. I better keep going. It's why I love the book. The five love languages is something Beth and I read early in our marriage to help understand each other's love language. Hers is touch and mine is affirmation. And so we do our best to minister to each other to that love language. And God has a love language too, everybody. And it's worship. I'm going to say it again. God has a love language too, everybody. And it's worship. And he loves it when we worship him. Why do we do Elevate City Nights? Because we want to teach people to worship even more. And it was awesome a few weeks ago, by the way. And so here's the most important commandment. I'm going to close up with a few thoughts. It was a great question that came to Jesus. He said, man, expert of the law, kind of trying to figure this thing out, and comes to him and asks him, says, Jesus, man, there's 440 commandments in the Old Testament. It's a lot. Which one do I need to pay attention to? Look at this scripture, verse 30. Of all the commandments, he asked him, which is the most important? How many know whenever you see the most important in your Bibles, you probably ought to pay attention to it? Right. And Jesus, look at this. He responded. He said, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus, in other words, is saying this. If you will love me with everything within you, I'm going to break this verse down and what it means in just a second. But you'll find that the other 439 are going to be easier. But if you try to do this without loving me, you're going to find this very hard to do. For some of you, Christianity is hard. For some, you feel like, man, God's just asking way too much of me. And I'll just tell you this morning that you need to back away from that completely, from that, and focus and do one thing. And that's fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. When you fall in love, it's easy. But when you don't, it's hard. Let me say it this way. Here's the real key to Christianity. Let me give you the secret to Christianity. It's not trying to obey the Bible. Listen to me. You don't want to miss this. It's falling in love with the God of the Bible, and then you will gladly do everything he wants. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Come on, everybody say, I'm a worshiper. Number one, let's break, kind of chop up this verse as we close today. Come on up, worship team. Says, Jesus said, I want you to love me with all your heart and soul. What's that mean? It means this, expressing my affection to God. Expressing my affection to God. In other words, God just wants you to be in love with him. He wants you to be in love with him. And so the question is for you and I, what do I love most? What do I love most in my life? What do I love most? Is there something taking the place of God? Is there something taking the place, priority? What do I love most? Here's the second thing. He said this. Jesus said, I want you to love me with all your mind. I said, man, how in the world do I love God with my mind? And that is you fix your attention or your focus on him. Can I tell you that God likes it when you think about him? When you think about him throughout the day and talk to him. Some of my favorite moments are times when Bethany and I will send each other texts or just a phone call and not want anything. And this has happened for both of us, where sometimes we might be doing something and we get caught up and try to get each other off the phone when we just want to say, baby, I just love you. And in those moments, I mean, we're married, so we send spicy texts. I mean, some of them, I said, baby, I can cancel my meeting today if you want me to come home. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just the way it is, you know? And so I'm married. I can do that, everybody, all right? And so I can have lunch with him another day, you know? And I just want to be with her. That's just my heart. I just want to be. And God is saying, I love it. Apostle Paul said this, to pray without ceasing. You know what that really just means? Is to have ongoing conversations with God throughout the day. You know, before I go in meetings, I pray. But then I tell the Lord, Lord, I love you. I'm getting ready to go in this meeting. I'll talk to you when I get out of this meeting. I just thank you so much that you're with me today. Give me wisdom in this conversation in Jesus' name. So what do I think about most? What do I think about most? And then here's the last one. Jesus said, I want you to love me with all your strength. And that essentially is just this, using my abilities for God. Use it when you do things for God, it's worship. So as you're working your jobs through the week, you do it as unto the Lord. It's worship. Come on, when you're making a difference, when you're, you know, come on, serving your spouse, serving your kids, come on, it's worship as unto the Lord. When you're loving people and making a difference, it's worship to God. Are you with me, church? When you're serving on Sundays, when you're serving out in small groups and outreaches through the week, you know what it is? Worship. When you give your tithes and your offerings to the Lord, you know what it is? Worship to the Lord. And I'm just telling you, you won't experience the best that God has for you going in part way. You'll only experience God's best for your life when you go all in with God. Amen, everybody? Would you bow your head right where you're at? I just want to pray for us. And just right here, and this is why I do this, because I'm trying to teach us worship. And just right in your lap, we just open up your hands right there. And as I said earlier, this is just a sign of worship. And for some of us, God, we just pray right now as we just open up our hands to you right here, as we're sitting before you. God, you can do a lot better job than we can. So God, we're not going to try to steer our own boat here or drive our own car. God, we ask that you take complete control of our lives and our situations and the things in which we are facing. Because God, we open up, God, our hands in worship because we declare that you can do a better job than I could ever do on my own. And so this morning, Father, we just position our heart that way and worship. God, we end this series today with just some quiet time right here of worship. And Lord, we just honor you in this place. And we declare that you are good. And there's nothing too difficult for our God. And so, Father, as we just worship you today, take our struggles, take our issues, take our frustrations right now. Take them, God. And I ask, God, that you would replace that, Lord, in our lives, God, with your amazing love. Let us, God, experience the powerful, amazing grace of God. And God, that we would realize today that our hope is anchored in Christ. And we are not alone. And that, God, that you are with us. And because you say worship, we're going to worship. Because you like it, God, we're going to do it because we love you and we honor you and we understand and are continuing to understand that it is not about us. It's completely about what you want for our lives in Jesus' name. I'm just continue just in this prayer. Just want to give an opportunity today that if you don't know Jesus, and maybe as we were in this message, you realize, man, I'm far from God. I need to get closer. As we end this series today, I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. For some of you, you say, man, I need to make a fresh start today, commitment with God, and continue to journey forward in his plan and purpose for my life. Come on, all over this room, if that is you, on the count of three in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand, and then you can put it right back down. And we're all going to pray a prayer together in just a moment. Come on the count of three, if that's you, I want you to be bold. Be bold for him. Lift that hand. One, two, three. Say, that's me. Yes, ma'am. Come on, who else? Anybody else that says, man, that's me. That's me. Yes, got you. Gotcha. Yeah, man. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's pray with these guys. Come on, all of us, church. And for those that raise their hand, just pray something like that. Believe like this. Just believe in your heart and just say, Lord, I love you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your life for me. Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross and for raising from the dead for me. Forgive me of my sins. I turn and repent of those things today. And I thank you for life that truly is life. In Jesus' name today, amen. Amen. Amen, everybody. I want to say this before we move around. Hang on. For some of you, for the first time that lift your hands, I want to say this to you. Man, just on your connection card, just let us know that you made that decision. It's a real decision, all right? And to let us know in the connection card so we can just walk with you and help you in this journey and not do this life alone by ourselves. We're not made to do this life alone, amen? So just let us know in the box and say, man, I committed my life to Christ. And I'm going to send you something in the mail this week just to help you in this journey. Amen, everybody. And so we just want you to know, man, it's not just about saying a prayer. It's the first step. Now we want to help you take some other steps in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody. Amen. Now let's give Jesus a hand. Can we do that, everybody? Amen.